Mike Garcia's Hobby Game Dev Blog Post. 2020-04-25 Political correctness is hilarious if it wasn't real. A rant about censorship and political correctness. I remember as a kid watching 80s and 90s action movies, the film industry also made for TV versions that would censor bad language, nudity, strong violence, and gore, or the TV stations would just cut them out, poorly, sometimes making no sense. Growing up I thought this was fair, and it make perfect sense to protect the general public from that content on a public, free-to-air medium. Besides, adults would have already watched it in the cinemas, or rented the videos, or DVD, which physically applied an age restriction to that content. https://www.youtube.com/4colwpq2qdy Ridiculous edited for TV movie lines. What concerns me more is today's platform ideological censorship. Most on the internet have strong beliefs, but they don't really know why, because of feelings. Anything with a pulse has feelings. So what feelings? To be humane is not just to acknowledge feelings, but actions, dignity, purpose, intent, respect, reciprocity, merit, freedom, etc. etc. To solely focus on feelings is, in my opinion, lazy philosophical pornography. It's easy to take or project offense, but nobody has a right not to be offended. We don't live in a protective bubble or a dictatorial regime, which is pretty much what the social hive platforms are heading to. To be honest, I find political correctness and grievance highly distracting. It's self-validating, self-flagellating, and ultimately self-defeating. It's cancerous, taking time and focus away from something beneficial. It consumes everything that everyone does, and there is really no safe space from the cult of political correctness and grievance. Everyone is guilty of something. I'm not a fan of Joe Rogan, but Jonathan Haidt is interesting to listen to. https://www.youtube.com/fg6hbww2rf4joerogan experience1221 Jonathan Haidt https://www.youtube.com/cage2i40hjve The Coddling of the American Mind. A First Principles Conversation with Dr. Jonathan Haidt. Here is a link to the latest Jonathan Haidt YouTube Talks. How it is funny. Have you ever seen a mime artist in real life on the streets? I mean a real mime, not a statue impersonator. I don't think I have, or at least I can't recall having so. My point is, it's something I can't relate to. Is it serious or entertainment? Both? Well, it's neither for me. Maybe it's a generational thing. It's funny laughing at overly emotional, sad clowns, I guess. And before it's over, another even more emotional clown comes along, exclamation, the world has a never-ending stream of narcissist, outrage, victimhood, sad mime clowns, all uploading for attention and validation on the social media street, feed. But is it real? Does it matter? Does the audience know what they are watching? I don't know. I find Marcel Mandel, the real man behind the funny clown face, far more interesting than the mime meme Marcel Marceau, exclamation. So yeah, to me, grievance is a meme. https://www.youtube.com/mel0xmcssg0marcel Marceau An internet trend. With parents exposing young children to online connected devices, the age of average user online drops to the age of adolescences, or young adult, who are very affected by peer pressure of the group, and its groupthink. Interaction online was more candid 10 plus years ago. People spoke in a wide spectrum like adults do, from positive to negative, to brutally honest to mean stupidity. But I don't take any of it personally, because after all we are just strangers. Discord is interesting. It's like IRC back in the day. After using it for a year, I've realized most Discord server I've joined can't focus on the topic it was set up for. For example, handmade network and game from scratch. You would think they focus on low-level stuff and handmade tech. I guess some people there talk about it, but some also talk about their indie game made with XYZ script engine, i.e. marketing. Neither even have a single miserable channel just for handmade tech, i.e. not script engine stuff. I've been in two different PSX dev servers, and the owners couldn't control the Unity 3D PS1 shader coders. Like it's all the same. FFS absolutely ridiculous. I never considered Discord or IRC, or any real-time chat as social media. I figured people would just be normal, but nope. I think people are programmed on social media, like a new normal, and carry it like baggage. So what's happening? I think there is two main kinds of person online, and neither is conducive to the normal person. Fake positive. Fake positivity, I don't know of a better thing to call it, is like watching a 1950s show on TV, where every show has a lesson, and then everyone lives happily ever after, well until the next show anyway. Today, most are pretending to be living perfect lives, with their perfect social feed of high-res images, and videos of great food, great smiles, great trips, great materialistic things, etc., etc. Like some kind of weird 1950s happiness competition. Image. 1950s group of people happily clapping to music. The extremes of this is activism. Because we live in a world of social outrage, and everything is political, we now place a high importance on tweets. Do you think the average social activist even knows who their local government representative is? I doubt it, let alone communicated with them. Activists have to keep the flock together. This typically means no free thought, groupthink, and censorship, safe spaces. All policing each other, to make sure it's on script for group happiness. Well, like the 1950s TV shows, real life doesn't work out perfectly folding rigid narratives and beliefs that look great on a tweet, but not in reality. One of the things the pre-Web 2.0 internet was known for, was its honesty. This isn't the case anymore. People hold back from honesty because it could be seen as offensive, so only reply in positive terms, which is good until you realize the trade-off is no constructive criticism, or any form of opposing opinions. Ask a question where you know you will get back a negative reply, and most will just ignore it and won't answer it, some even validating the wrong as a right. Which is more harmful? Information good or bad that can help, or making people feel better but not solving anything? Adding to that, people now have a filter where they project their programming or beliefs depending on the person's immutable traits, sex, sexual preference, skin color, religion, politics, etc. Not if someone is asking for feedback on XZY, these personal traits have nothing to do with any feedback, yet this is encouraged online. So what's the fake feedback worth? Me culpa. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, and a popular road today is called victim blaming. I'm not saying to hate on the person with a problem, but if the person isn't adult enough to even take a tiny bit of responsibility for their part, they have lost a learning opportunity, and further to this, now the community can't provide any real guidance, or some tough love, as it was called. As a migrant with a typical Latino-sounding surname, Garcia, I've had the real privilege, as opposed to grievance BS privilege, of having two languages, two cultures, two customs and traditions, two passports to two continents, and with two identities, two origins, two homes, two family and friend network. The two are night and day, neither are perfect, but I love them both. If that's not real privilege, then I don't know what is. Anyway, most older, non-English, Latin-speaking people internalize victim blaming on themselves. It's called mea culpa, a formal acknowledgement of personal fault or error. Quote mea culpa, which means through my fault in Latin, comes from a prayer of confession in the Catholic Church. Said by itself, it's an exclamation of apology or remorse that is used to mean it was my fault or I apologize. Mea culpa is also a noun, however. A newspaper might issue a mea culpa for printing inaccurate information, or a politician might give a speech making mea culpas for past wrongdoings. Mea culpa is one of many English terms that derive from the Latin culpa, meaning guilt. Some other examples are culpable, meriting condemnation, or blame especially as wrong, or harmful, and culprit, one guilty of a crime, or a fault. It might have started with religion, but it's a cultural thing now, to the point it's almost exaggerated. Here is a common phrase, I'm even more sorry, which means to take culpability for the mistakes of others, and to know better next time. Anyway, continuing with the 1950s theme, if the internet is such a happy place, why is there so much hate and anger online? The answer is, because it's the right kind of hate. It sounds weird that a modern society would encourage double standard attacks based on personal traits, but here we are. For example, look at a few blue-tick Twitter accounts. These people are typically righteously indignant, and you'll see a few unavailable retweets meant to shame their on-think victims. Subsequently, they get blocked for being assholes, and that retweet is there on their feed, but becomes unavailable. It's a new feature, since I stopped using it. Hopefully it'll stop douchebags from being toxic, but old habits are hard to break. Sex doesn't sell, it's offensive now. Indignant hate, anger and outrage is the new sex. I think this 1950s style fake positivity evolved from the popularity of social activism on hive sites, wanting change, but at the expense of wanting truth. But what happened after the fake positivity bubble popped in the late 1960s, and reality hits? Image. Michael Douglas in Falling Down. 1993. Portraying a 1950s man giving up on a modern world. Validating harm. So if you are young, and you grow up in this environment of filters and fakeness, it's easy to go the other way, especially if you don't fit in a group. Despair, fear, depression and anger. From what I've seen, these people with legitimate mental illnesses, instead of getting treatment, they go online for help. Image. Man sobbing onto his mobile phone. Unfortunately, the internet with well-meaning, or not, fake positivity advice givers, which mostly serves to validate harm, again the best term I can come up with, normalizing bad ideas, or reality denial, isn't going to end well. But worse, is when it turns into social activism, where people with mental illnesses self-proclaim to be a protected class, or grievance victim, where nothing constructive can be said. With no honest, and balanced views, mixed with the highly addictive nature of social platforms, the internet of today is a negative feedback loop. Image. Camel ad. Doctor recommending camel cigarettes. https://www.youtube.com/vha9xd1uwem/requiem/for/a/dream, addiction and reality denial. Well, that's it. I've written a lot about my social experience before. This is just an extension to that. I've been back on RSS for the last year, and it's great. I use SeaMonkey, the old Mozilla browser with a HTML page creator, RSS, newsgroup reader and mail. https://www.youtube.com/vowr3d8shappinessbillis. Getting off social media. Chris Crawford, a living game developer. GOD temp comments are open.